Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with stanza 6 of the hymn, The Infant Priest. It's not often considered a big emphasis in the season of Lent, is it? The Lord's Supper. We think about the Lord's Supper as we get on toward Maundy Thursday, but that's kind of a footnote in the minds of a lot of people when it comes to Lent. Is there such a thing as this season of renewal, the season of repentance that we call Lent, and a close connection to the Lord's Supper? If Lent is, in fact, a microcosm of the entire Christian church year and of the Christian life, it would seem that the Lord's Supper ought to have a prominent place there, since it has such a prominent place in the life of the Christian and the life of the church year-round. Answering the question why we need the Lord's Supper, especially during the season of Lent, Dr. Alphonse Espinoza is joining us. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Irvine, California, and he's going to be one of the speakers at a catechism convocation for the people April the 13th in Southern California. Dr. Espinoza, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's great to be back.
One of the phrases that I noted in a sermon that you recently delivered on this subject is over and over with reference to the Lord's Supper. Why is it important, especially in this season of Lent and in the atmosphere of American Christianity, pop American Christianity, that we emphasize the over and over nature of the Lord's Supper?
In our Augsburg Confession, Todd, Article 24 of the Mass, we quote St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, who said simply, because I always sin, I'm always bound to take the medicine. Ambrose understood, as our Lutheran confessions explicate, that while we are certainly baptized into Christ and have received the full forgiveness of sins, we go forth always battling our sinful nature, the evil influences in the world, and Satan. And along the way, we tire. We experience the terrors of conscience. We experience and see our own sinful weaknesses coming out daily. So we need the medicine, that medicine of immortality that keeps us alive in Christ. In that sermon that you mentioned, I used the analogy of holy matrimony. Yes, indeed, being born again by water and the Spirit, we have Christ already, but as in any good marriage, the bride and the bridegroom are to come together over and over again. Love is sealed in the wedding vows. We were sealed in our baptismal vows, but love is also nurtured, and it continues to be poured out through marriage, at least according to God's plan. And forgiveness and grace in Christ is poured out over and over again in your marriage with God through the Holy Supper.
If a Christian or a church understands the Lord's Supper as purely symbolic, purely a memorial meal, with nothing real of Christ there except perhaps his memory in the mind of the believer, as does Pop American Christianity, how are they going to view the Lord's Supper?
Well, the Lord's Supper is primarily treated, Todd, as a tenet of the law. There is certainly a pietistic appreciation for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. So if you are truly born again, if you ever truly received the Holy Spirit and are converted to Christ, you will demonstrate your sanctification. You will demonstrate your obedience by being faithful to the Word. Thus, the sacrament, in being memorialized and kept in this fashion, is demonstrative of your progress in keeping the law according to the new man. So I can point to this in kind of an American evangelical context as that which is an outer symbol of my inner spirituality, which at the end of the day, of course, turns the sacrament not into the work of God, but into the work of man. And this is an incredible contradiction of the actual state of affairs, because in our Lutheran understanding, our Lutheran theology, we understand the Lord's Supper to be a sacrament, which is by definition the work of God for us, Christ coming to us. But in this other view turns the Holy Supper into a sacrifice, a memorial, a symbol of what we do in maintaining our Christian faith.
So is the mindset something like this? Look, if you're really a Christian and you've really made your decision or been born again, you shouldn't need that over and over again quality, that, as you mentioned before, that constant need of Christ's grace and mercy and forgiveness. What you really need is an obedience plan. Is it that simple?
Well, certainly what you've described is a part and parcel of the concern towards traditional Lutheranism bound in Holy Scripture. But I think that also behind the concern spoken towards us from American evangelicalism is that perhaps we're actually lacking in faith. I think the idea goes back to a true conversion, a true understanding of the atonement of Christ Jesus should bring about in us a place of security, a place of confidence that does not go on in some kind of pattern that is seen by some as indication of insecurity or doubt. So if we have to keep coming back and confessing that we need forgiveness of sins over and over again, perhaps we're guilty of that which is described in the book of Hebrews as a immature returning to basic principles. Perhaps we don't fully understand the completed work of Jesus Christ that Hebrews 10 talks about, the one sacrifice. Perhaps we're lacking in our theology and lack the conviction to say that we are forgiven once and for all. But in fact, Todd, in spite of this unfortunate argument that is out there against our confession, what is missing in this is the realization that no matter how much you try to employ this theological, spiritual pep talk upon oneself, you still have to face, at the end of the day, the real struggle that St. Paul clearly indicates in Romans 7 and Galatians 5. And when you know that this struggle exists, you need to receive it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, why we need the Lord's Supper. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant."
Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, February the 20th. We're talking with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, Why We Need the Lord's Supper. Before the break, I'd like you to pick up where you left off. You were responding to a concern slash criticism often leveled at Lutherans when it comes to the Lord's Supper, that because we return to it again and again and put the emphasis on our constant need to be renewed in God's grace, to be renewed in His forgiveness, the evangelical often says, well, you're either not sure that you're really saved, or maybe you don't have any faith at all. Again, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, so the way I respond to that is that, look, if one can confess that Jesus Christ, as taught in Colossians chapter 1, is the almighty creator of heaven and earth, if one can confess that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead, on the third day after his crucifixion, then one can also confess what the Scriptures clearly proclaim, that in the supper, Jesus himself says, for the forgiveness of sins. And as good Lutherans, we know that this is recorded all through Scripture in Matthew 26 and Luke 22 and Mark 14 and 1 Corinthians 11. And Jesus himself is speaking to his children who know the struggle that Paul describes in Romans 7 and Galatians 5 between the sinful Adam and the born-again spirit. Because of that ongoing struggle, Todd, we need this medicine of immortality.
So we not only have a difference there in what is actually believed about the Lord's Supper, what it is, what it does. There's also, I'm detecting, a more subtle difference there about kind of the nature of the ongoing Christian life.
Yeah, absolutely. In another show that we did, we talked about American pop Christianity and the apocalyptic millennialistic movements. And attached to this view within American evangelicalism of perfectionism doctrine, which is latent in many millennialist thoughts, is this idea that, you know, because we can mature in our discipline, it is reasonable to perceive the sacrament as a symbol. I've mentioned to you before that Tim LaHaye, in one of his works, describes the sacrament as, quote, the greatest metaphor in the Bible. Well, he's in a position, at least he believes he is, in a position to say that, because he also believes that he can conduct his sanctification according to a disciplined plan. But what we have to understand, scripturally speaking, not only is our justification attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ, but so is our sanctification. And if we are not connected to Christ, then how in the world can we experience true sanctification? And of course, we know in our Lutheran confession that we're connected to Christ when he comes to us in with and under the bread and the wine in the Holy Sacrament.
Is this just a Lutheran thing? I mean, someone listening, looking in from the outside, might be hearing this emphasis for the first time. Is this something that originated with Lutheran theology?
Yeah, so, Todd, this is a very important question you asked, which is why one of the points I love to bring out is going back to the early church. Not only do we find the record of the early church fathers recording such things as infant baptism, but we also find amazing testimony to the precious sacrament of the altar. One of my favorite examples is the example of Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, who, of course, professed his faith in Christ before Emperor Trajan, and he was subsequently condemned to the wild beasts in AD 107. But when Ignatius, in his epistle to the Ephesians, wrote on the supper, this is what he had to say. "Stand fast, brethren, in the faith of Jesus Christ, and in his love, in his passion, and in his resurrection. Do ye all come together in common, and by name, through grace, in one faith of God the Father and of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, breaking one and the same bread, which is the medicine of immortality and the antidote which prevents us from dying, but a cleansing remedy driving away evil, which causes that we should live in God through Jesus Christ." And prior to this, of course, I mentioned the Ambrose quote. There was a fundamental, basic understanding that to receive the sacrament was to receive Christ here in the space-time continuum we live on planet Earth.
So why does it matter? Why is this so important? Why is this emphasis so important to emphasize?
Yes, indeed. You know, I don't think there is a better answer to that than what is contained in our small catechism. So certainly the ritual operations and the rest of the Book of Concord are invaluable, but, you know, we just kind of get back to basics. When in Section 4 of the Small Catechism taught the Christian questions with their answers, these are the last two questions in review. Number 19, Luther writes the question, "What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?" Answer, first, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given. And then Luther asks the question, what should you do if you're not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament? To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the Scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world, and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the Scriptures say in John 15 through 16 and 1 John 2 and 5. Third, he will certainly also have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the Scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2. And that's part one to answering your question, Todd, because when we do, as Luther instructs, we will, by the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, experience what the confessions refer to as the terrors of conscience. And when we get to this point, we experience that we are, in fact, weak and troubled and distressed. At least we should be if we understand the severity of our sin, right? So in the Formula of Concord, Article 7 on the Holy Supper, our confessional writers put forth, for Christians who are of weak faith, diffident, troubled, and heartily terrified because of the greatness a number of their sins and think that in this, their great impurity, they are not worthy of this precious treasure and the benefits of Christ, and who feel and lament their weakness of faith, and from their hearts desire that they may serve God with stronger, more joyful faith and pure obedience, they are the truly worthy guests for whom this high, venerable sacrament and sacred feast has been especially instituted and appointed. As Christ says, Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Todd, that's the answer. This is why all of this is so important. If we're honest, if we're speaking truth, we know that we are constantly confronted with this incredible struggle that is described so vividly in Scripture in our confessions. We need the comfort that comes from the Holy Sacrament.
Dr. Espinosa, not only will you be one of the speakers at the upcoming catechism convocation for the people, but Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Center, will also be speaking there as well on April the 13th in Southern California. With about a minute, tell us about this annual conference.
Todd, we're so excited. Out here, LCMS pastors have gathered and organized together to sponsor this annual catechism. We've gone through the six chief parts now. We're in part six this year. And the actual catechism is called the sacrament. The actual convocation is called the Sacrament of the Altar, the Lord Christ, His Supper, and His Church. And Todd, we're so excited about President Harrison coming and also the Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Senior Pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Huntington Beach, speaking at this convocation because we know how important it is to provide more opportunities for the Lutheran confessions, our doctrine and practice to get out there and to show our culture and our time that there's a revival going on, Todd, even out here in sunny Southern California, and we're excited about it. And we're experiencing iron sharpening iron. The pastors that are participating now represent over 18 congregations, Todd. And to have President Harrison come out here on Saturday, April 13, 2013, at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Inglewood, California, is going to be the highlight of this effort to put forth our confession on the Lord's Supper in Southern California in 2013.
Folks, you can find out more about a catechism convocation for the people, this year's emphasis, the Sacrament of the Altar, April the 13th in Southern California, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Irvine, California, and will be one of the speakers at a catechism convocation for the people, April the 13th in Southern California. Dr. Espinosa, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, always great to talk to you.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, we're going to start a four-part series on the office and responsibilities of a pastor. What has your pastor been called to do? What has he promised to do? Those are the two questions here. A man is called, and then upon that call to serve a congregation as its shepherd, he makes certain promises. Promises are based upon what he's called to do. Will you do these things? Today we're going to talk about instruction in Christian doctrine. That's catechesis and confession and absolution. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest for hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address: Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania.
Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri, St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota, Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa, St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.